As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Running three-man show. EB will be back tomorrow. It's Bish, Cakes, and JP.
You'll
stay
be
tuned.
Tomorrow.
I will. Stay tuned for your chance to win tickets to Game 2 of Caps Canadiens. The playoff series, of course, kicks off tonight with Game 1. Cakes is going to be there, but we're giving away tickets every hour on The Fan all the way until 5:20 p.m. Your next chance to win comes up very shortly to win tickets for Game 2. So if you're a Caps fan, stay tuned for that. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in DMV, is Daniel Kelly, a former New York Jets scout who we have a kick having on the show because he's got opinions sometimes that aren't the mainstream opinions. And that's where I'm going to start, because if you go to your Twitter account, at First Round Mock, you've got a little video of Mel Kiper, and I guess on Get Up or First Take, they showed one of your tweets about Shedeur Sanders, and Kiper went back at you. Why don't you give us your opinion of Shedeur first? Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Matt. Hello, everybody.
How you
it's
doing?
Great to be on the show. Hey, guys. It's almost draft day. The Tennessee Titans are on the clock. Shedeur Sanders. I mean, he is somebody that I have an undraftable free agent value on in the 2025 NFL draft. This is somebody who I've studied extensively. 26 games I have watched and studied going all the way back to when he was at Jackson State. I looked at all his games at Colorado. And the only reason I feel he's even in the first round discussion is because of his last name.
What about his accuracy? He had really good accuracy numbers.
Well, that to me is debatable because, you know, first of all, he threw a lot of short passes. Second of all, I charted 54. I like little chicken scratches in my notes. 54 PBUs, pass breakups in the last two seasons that go along with his 13 interceptions. The accuracy. See, the thing with Colorado is Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator there, did a great job coming in this past season in creating a very friendly system for him to pad his stats. When he drops back, basically, he looks basically, this is what a kind of summary, what it was like for me watching a game film. He drops back, he looks what he's looking for. Now, he has the slowest throwing time, you know, per PFF, Pro Football Focus, in this draft class at 3 seconds. He holds the ball a long time. He sits back in the pocket. He looks. What's he looking for? He's looking for the biggest, safest, most guaranteed throwing window he can find, preferably against off-man, zone coverage, big throwing windows, soft schedule, defenders are off. He's waiting for receivers to uncover. Then he throws the ball. I mean, I like to think that even I could complete some of those passes. Those guys are so wide open, you know. So yeah, he has the stats, the completion percentage, all those type of things. But really, to me, it was a very friendly offense put together by a coach who has a lot of NFL experience and knows how to manipulate really middling defenders in a very average college schedule. Because when he, you know, when they ratcheted it up and he went up a step to a higher level of competition, he went into a shell. He became more hesitant. He was 1-7 against top 25 teams over the last 2 years. So I take the stats that he put up at Colorado with a grain of salt, because the game film said that it was pretty much set up for him to pad his stats to even get him in the first round discussion. That's what I think the whole thing was about.
So you think that whoever takes him, whether it's, you know, I don't think he's going to go 3 to the Giants. I don't think he's going to go 2 to the Browns. But, you know, if the Saints grab him because they're desperate at 9, the Steelers, now they don't know what Rodgers is going to do if they grab him at 21. So you basically think whoever drafts him, certainly if they're in the first, he's in the first round, automatic Buster-ooney.
Absolutely. This is the second most I've been since I jumped back in the evaluation game in 2021. This is the second most overrated, overhyped, everything that since Trey Lance. Since I saw him. Now, I put an undraftable free agent grade on Trey Lance. I have the same grade on Shedeur Sanders. Washington fans can only hope and pray he ends up in New York. Whoever takes him, if some team takes him in the first round, he is an organizational disaster waiting to happen. I've just never really seen a quarterback that throws with this kind of hesitation. He's afraid to make a throwing mistake. I think the teams, NFL teams, I mean, I watched him. I mean, anybody who thinks he's a first-round pick out there, go back and watch him against number 17 BYU or number 18 K-State. He looked completely overwhelmed against BYU. I can't even imagine how it would look against the Philadelphia Eagles. To me, it's all hype. It's his last name. You know, it's all that. But yeah, he's a bust waiting to happen if he goes in the first.
What
round,
about his teammate?
Sure.
What about his teammate Travis Hunter? Do you like him more as a receiver or a corner?
I love Travis Hunter as a wide receiver. To me, he's a generational wide receiver prospect. I think we're going to look at Travis Hunter in the near future and mention him in the same breath as a Jamar Chase or a Justin Jefferson or a CeeDee Lamb. He's going to be one of the top receivers in the NFL if he plays that position. The guy just he's wiggly. He's got elite bend. He can bend out the top of route stems. He works back to the ball. He attacks the ball with his hands. He's a fun wide receiver to watch. Now, I don't see him. I've evaluated every single snap Travis Hunter's taken at a wide receiver and corner the last 2 years. I have a first-round grade on him as a wide receiver and a consistent for the last 2 years, a second-round grade on him as a cornerback.
We're joined by Daniel Kelly, former New York Jets scout on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow him at First Round Mock on Twitter. Now, you don't have any reservations about who everybody expects to go number one, Cam Ward, to the Titans. I know that you've had a documented first-round grade on him, according to your tweet from yesterday. Talk about what you see in Cam Ward and what the Titans are getting if and when they pick him number one.
Yeah, it's one of the rare times I'm singing with the choir on quarterback. Cam Ward, love the guy. I've been evaluating him going back, as you mentioned, all the way to 2022 when he came on Incarnate Word on the FCS when he jumped into Washington State. The thing I love most about Cam Ward is his ability to successfully and quickly acclimate to new environments. He showed it at Washington State. He was there for 2 years. He kind of compared, you know, kind of reminded me of a Jalen Hurts. Then last year he jumps down to Miami and he reminded me of Patrick Mahomes down there. The things I love most also about him is just his elite pocket navigation. He drives the offense downfield aggressively. He keeps the offense what I call leaning forward as he's going down the field. He's a student of the game, and he has very high-level communication skills, preparation skills. He's a good, you know, communicator, good listener. He's always asking for feedback from what the commentator said during the televised games, which is why I love studying the televised games, because they give that kind of intel. But this guy is an athletic, mature playmaker with a big league arm, an eight throwing instincts, commanding presence. And the great ones make it look easy. And boy, did he make it look easy down in Miami this season. I'm really excited. I think he's a surefire plug and play franchise quarterback. I'm really excited about Cam Ward.
All right. So we know it's not a strong quarterback draft, certainly not what it was last year. We already talked about a couple, but there are some desperate teams out there for quarterbacks. All right. So you've talked about a few of those. Let's move on to Jackson Dart. If you've looked at him as much as the other guys, do you see Jackson Dart going in the first round because you've got some desperate teams that need one?
I hope not. You know, it seems like every year teams are reaching for quarterbacks. I have a third round grade on Jackson Dart. I say he's the next Gardner Minshew. I see him as being as a kind of a career backup, you know, as far as the ceiling's concerned. I've evaluated 26 games of Jackson Dart. And to me, what it always comes back to, I mean, there's a lot of things that there's, you know, I like about Jackson Dart. He's very competitive. He aggressively attacks downfield. He's fearless when he throws the ball. But it always comes back to me. If I was sitting in a war room in a scouting meeting and I was asked, hey, Daniel, give us one word. You know, like sometimes they do that in scouting rooms. Give us one word about Jackson Dart. And the word I would pick that comes to my mind is inconsistencies. And I think it's always going to come back to these type of things, because the things that scare me, I mean, there's some real, you know, basic things that I look for in an NFL quarterback making the leap from college. You know, does he go through his progressions on a regular basis? Can he make multiple reads when he's sitting back there in the pocket? You know, what kind of anticipation does he throw with? Does he, you know, ball placement, ball security? And these are all things that, you know, I don't like Jackson Dart's pocket presence whatsoever. I think he makes some real ill-advised passes from the pocket. But the thing that concerns me even more than all that is he just seems to be a very elementary one-read quarterback, and a lot of his throws at Ole Miss were seemed to be predetermined. The NFL is not, he locks in with the receivers. Of course, he pats the ball, like, you know, the controversy about Shador patting the ball. They all pat the ball, but he pats the ball. He tends to lock in, and he makes some, like I said, some real ill-advised throws. And his anticipation isn't that great. A lot of times, you know, he's throwing the ball, you know, as the receiver makes his break or after. And when you have all those things, you're doing the telegraph throws against NFL corners. It's for a tough time. I mean, I don't think he belongs in the first round discussion at all. I think the media's kind of overhyped him because teams are quarterback desperate. But, you know, I think, you know, I had a fifth round grade coming out on Kenny Pickett pre-draft, third round grade on Zach Wilson. I kind of see him in the same light, you know, just kind of like with those type of guys.
Right.
I think his inconsistencies are always going to send him back to the bench. Teams are going to try to make him a starter, but I just don't see him sticking.
Talking to Daniel Kelly, former NFL scout, who, you know, predicted Caleb Williams wasn't going to be so good first year. You seem right on that. Let's shift over to running backs. Because here in Washington, everybody wants to upgrade. Brian Robinson's fine. Is there somebody they could get with that 29th pick that's going to be a game changer?
Yeah, it's funny. Running backs. I was up to 145 in the morning finishing my evaluation on Marion Hampton. Yeah, I think there is a guy that I really, matter of fact, I finished my evaluation on him yesterday. I know there's some chatter out there about him going to Washington, but Ohio State's running back, Travion Henderson, 5'10", 202, is a guy who I think really could help Washington. I'd be really excited to see him in Cliff Kingsbury's, you know, offensive system with Jaden Daniels back there. The thing about Henderson is he's a threat every time that he touches the ball. He's a home run threat every time he touches the ball. He runs the daylight, good vision. He has an electric burst and acceleration, good get up and go, 4.43 40 speed. And the thing that a lot of people don't know about Henderson that I appreciate that the 33rd team put out a tweet this last weekend was that, you know, Ashton Jeanty, who's my number one running back in the draft, Henderson will be my number two running back in the draft, but Jeanty averaged 5.25 yards after contact, which is phenomenal contact balance. But the thing with Travion Henderson is he averaged 4.43 yards, you know, behind Jeanty. So I really like it. And then one of the best attributes about Henderson I liked is he's selfless. He's a guy that gives the same effort, same intensity, whether he's running the ball, doing, you know, catching it, picking up a blitz, blocking for a teammate. He's a good teammate, I think. This guy would be really exciting, I think, in Washington's offense. It would make Washington's offense truly two-dimensional, adding a whole nother fold to how things could play out this season for the Commanders.
So you don't think 29 is too high to draft him?
No.
No,
not at all. I definitely – I know there's this thought out there, that, you know, to your point that, you know, don't take a running back in the first round or anything, but you have to have an elite, dominant special trade. Henderson has that home run hitting speed, and I just don't think – I think running backs are coming more in style. They're starting to trend again after what we saw with Philadelphia and Saquon Barkley, and we saw, with Derrick Henry in Baltimore. I don't think it's any coincidence, guys, that Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson enjoyed the highest passer ratings of their NFL careers, having those two backs respectively playing for them this year. I think that those guys are kind of bringing back the being a trend to pick running backs, and I think these guys fit perfectly in the timeline. The Ashton Gentes, the Travion Henderson, of course, Henderson's team at Ohio State is pretty good too. My running back three, which is Quinshon Judkins.
Daniel, do you think that Peters moves off of that 29 pick, moves 5, 7, 8 spots back to try to get some of the picks that he's given up when he's acquired guys like Deebo Samuel, Laremy Tunsil, Lattimore over the last year and a half?
That's a great question, guys. I think it's very possible, depending on how he gauges, if he can get the guy that he still wants. He's done a great job there in Washington. If the running backs aren't there or something too, I think, maybe a pass rusher like a princely Uma Nealon or a Landon Jackson would be a real nice pick around that area too, with the departure of Dante Fowler Jr., trying to replace that sack total. But, there's some guys, it's like I've heard Daniel Jeremiah and Matt Miller say, respectively, one or the other said, it's not a draft of a lot of stars, but it's a draft of a lot of starters. It's a meat and potatoes type of draft. I think that the second round is going to be loaded, because once you get really past the top five picks, it's kind of like, okay, what are we going to do here? We can move down, whatever. But this the first couple rounds are just loaded with talent in the 2025 NFL draft.
All right, last question, just sticking with the running backs. I know you obviously love Genty. You talked about Hampton, Travion. One guy I'm interested to see where he goes. I'd be interested to see where you have him ranked in what round. Bashaal Tuten out of Tech. I watched this kid for 2 years, and he transfers from North Carolina A&T, and he put up 29 touchdowns in 2 years down in Blacksburg for a hokey team that really couldn't throw the ball. So it was pretty much all Tuten. Now, he got hurt a little bit towards the end of last year, but he averaged like 5.7 yards per carry. Interested to hear your thoughts on Tuten.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I haven't had a chance to do a full evaluation of him. He's one of the guys on my list I'm trying to get to. I mean, I do this 17 to 20 hours a day, 6 to 7 hours a day. He's on my list here. I'm hoping to get to him before the draft. But a guy like that, I could definitely see going in like the third or fourth round. I know it's a very deep, people say there's a lot of running backs in this draft. But I think that, somebody that puts up those kind of numbers obviously has the ability to be a pretty good runner. And I think that he's going to draw a lot of interest in his draft. And I think third, fourth round would be, from what I've seen and what I know so far, I think that would be a fair place for him in this draft.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't see him higher than about third round. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel. Always enjoy having you on. You can check him out on Twitter at First Round Mock. It's Daniel Kelly, former Jets scout.
Enjoy the rest of the week and, of course, this weekend.
Sounds good. You guys, too. It's draft day. It's a great time of the year, a time of hope and renewal for every team in the league. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks,
Daniel. I always enjoy being on.
Yes, sir.
Take
appreciate
care.
The
Daniel
time, Kelly. Appreciate- controversies he has. Shedeur Sanders, undraftable.
Yeah, wouldn't touch him. Even
I think
the
he
last
said the
round.
Same thing about Caleb Williams, undraftable.
Yep.
And Trey Lance, undraftable.
Not fans of those guys.
You know what? You might disagree with them, but the guy's got opinions.
Yep.
I do know Caps fans are butts iced for this.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving away tickets all morning long and, of course, all afternoon long, all the way until 5:20. And right now, caller number 9 at 800-636-1067. We're going to send you to game 2 of Caps Canadiens. 2025 playoffs are underway. Of course, you can get tickets and more event information at thefandc.com. So be caller number 9 at 800-636-1067.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's time for the Keys to the Game, brought to you by Chinigamayos, Relentlessly Ready, MIOScareers.com. I see two keys for the Caps when they face the Canadiens starting tonight in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Key number one, can Logan Thompson rebound to his pre-contract signing level of play? We need more of the Logan Thompson we saw in December and January, especially. In December, he had a 1.86 goals against and a 93% save percentage. In January, 1.48 goals against and at almost a 95% save percentage. We need to see that Logan Thompson as the backstop to the Capitals if he's tabbed to play in this series.
I was going to ask you if you knew something.
We don't know. I don't know
that. I didn't know.
We don't know that yet. And I think the second key is Protas healthy and ready to go? I mean, he's one of their top scorers. He's probably their most important 5v5 scorer. And we know Montreal struggles in 5v5 play when they're not on special teams. He's missed the last six games. I think if Protas is healthy and good to go, that's another key offensive piece for the Washington Capitals as they prepare to take on Montreal tonight. Those are the keys to the game, brought to you by Chinigamayos, Relentlessly Ready, MIOScareers.com.
So most of our listeners believe the Caps are going to win, and they'd love to go to game two. Let's punch up line one, Cakes.
Let's do that.
Who would this be?
Let's go to Lion in Woodbridge.
Lion?
I'm here.
Hey, Lion, guess what?
What's that?
You're caller number nine. You're going to go to game two. Caps, Canadiens. Playoff game on Wednesday night. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
Have you ever experienced Caps playoff hockey in person, Lion?
Oh, yeah. Many times. Best memory is the Dale Hunter Game 7 goal a long time ago.
Ooh, was that?
That is a long time ago.
That is going way back.
What year was that?
I don't even remember.
Probably like... I'm going to throw out early
90s.
You lived some newer memories that are created in game two. So congrats on going to the game, and thank you for listening to the station. It is appreciated.
Thank you, Lion.
Appreciate it, fellas.
See you, buddy.
Enjoy.
So he's happy. He's going to game two on Wednesday.
Right.
Cakes is going to game one tonight.
I got confirmation from our guy, JVS. My tickets are secured, and almost as important, parking secured as well. Something I panic about.
Oh, really? Yeah, there you go.
I always feel better when the parking is taken care of.
I'll tell you what, man. We get treated like VIPs over there.
I mean, they...
Thank God for those guys who are monumental, especially JVS.
JVS has been nothing but amazing to us over the years.
Looks like Dale Hunter's overtime goal in Game 7 against Philadelphia, April 16th.
1987?
1988. Pretty close.
Very good. We were just a few months away from graduating high school at that point.
Yep. One of the keys that you didn't bring up, Cakes, I thought you were going to do an alliteration play because there's Cakes' keys.
Okay, yes.
Defending Demidov.
The newbie.
Yes.
I think he only played like one or two games for them down the stretch. But
played their final two regular season games. He had a goal and assist in one of those games. He's like a 19-year-old Russian phenom.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah, he played two games.
They're going to have to... You know, potentially, you know, obviously there are guys like Suzuki who are leading scorers for them, but Demidov is apparently a stud.
He was the fifth pick in the first round last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't
keep him quiet.
He didn't spend much time in the minors.
Hopefully there's not a lot of fireworks from him in this series.
Let's keep Demidov quiet, and let's keep Ichiro's younger brother, yes. Nick Suzuki, quiet.
Yes, Kurt's brother, too.
Yeah.
And Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Our Caps Talk presented by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America. Check out acecomputers.com now. Demidov played for SKA St. Petersburg.
Mm.
And he was their leading scorer. 19 goals, 30 assists for 49 points in 65 games. He's widely considered, or was widely considered, the top young player not currently in the NHL. Well, now he is in the NHL. So definitely the Caps defense going to have to sweat Ivan Demidov.
Correct.
And how do you pronounce the Canadiens goalie's last name? Montembeault?
I'm going to go with the proper pronunciation from our next guest, Joe Beninati. I'm going to go with Montembeault.
Montembeault, yeah.
I'm just going to hope that's right. And if I, you know what? I'll check YouTube during the break just for confirmation.
Yeah, hopefully Joe B might have some information on Protas.
Doesn't look good.
Does not look good?
At least for game one.
Well, Protas, he skated.
You think he's going to be available for game one?
I know he's been skating.
I'm going to say Protas is going to be a go.
Hope you're right.
All right, we'll talk to Joe B next. Joe Beninati, voice of the Capitals on Monumental Sports, joins us next here on the Junkies as we talk game one. Of course, the Capitals are back in the playoffs. Grant and Danny are going to be live from City Tap House, Penn Quarter, today before game one. And if you come out, you can win two free tickets to game one. 901 9th Street Northwest. That's right. You can win tickets to tonight's game. And, of course, we're giving away tickets to Wednesday's game, game two, all the way up until 5:20 p.m.
Very good.
All right. Our pal Joe Beninati joins us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, the voice of the Caps on Monumental Sports. I'm guessing his voice is better because he's doing a radio hit. How you doing, Joe B?
Thank you, guys. Doing much better.
Good.
What do you do during your little hiatus? Do you have a bunch of honey? Do you just make sure you don't talk at all?
You see a doctor.
Explain to us, because at least you were there for the record breaker.
Everything was great for that Friday, Sunday, 893, 94, 95. Most of the Caps travel party was ill on that flight home, from what I gather. And that's where I think Locker and I both picked it up. And for some of us, it was a fever. For some of us, it was more nose-related, throat-related. And by the time Thursday rolled around that week, there was the 895 ceremony. And my voice was strong enough to do that. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes inside an arena, not bad. But not 2.5 hours of game. And when I walked into the doctors, I said, I've got 5 games in 8 days. And they looked at me and said, no, you don't.
Oh, wow.
And more, you know, the timing could have been worse because it could have happened before 8-93-4-5. But it happened the Wednesday after that Sunday and then led right into the stretch of where I had to miss 3 Caps games and 2 college lacrosse games. And everything was for an abundance of caution to make sure I was ready for tonight. So, not but everything is good, and we're ready to roll.
You are ready for tonight.
Awesome. So you have the entire first round on Monumental as Caps face Montreal. And the big question that everybody's been asking, Joe, is who is going to get the goalie nod for the Capitals? Is it going to be Chucky Lindgren, who's filled in admirably since Logan Thompson went out in early April when a puck hit him high in the mask? He hasn't been on the ice since, but it looks like he's got a few days of practice under his belt. What's your best guess? And, like, if you're Carberry, do you go with the guy that's been there for the last couple of weeks, or do you go with Thompson, who's had an extended layoff here?
There's a little bit of suspicion there, Cakes. There's a little bit of suspense and mystery, and I think Spencer's going to play with that a little bit to try and keep Montreal wondering and guessing. I think, just by judging what I saw yesterday at practice, I'll go two different ways for you here. I think Logan's ready. I think Logan's ready to play. Now, the decision, obviously, is to the coaches and to Carberry and Scott Murray, the goalie coach. Judging by what I saw yesterday, which was Scott Murray basically in the ear of Charlie Lindgren almost 75% of the time, my guess would be that it would be Charlie. However, Logan is your guy when he is 100% clear. And I'm guessing, again, that the doctors have given and the athletic trainers have given Spencer the go-ahead. Logan, in conversations that I've had with him, says he's feeling well, says he's ready to roll, but the decision is doctor and coach related. So they're going to keep this in suspense. My gut tells me it's Charlie tonight. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised at all, however, if it's Logan. And guys, if you can have January Logan Thompson
right
in the cage, you can beat anybody.
Right.
Now, we haven't seen January Logan Thompson for a while. There are a couple of reasons for that. But if he's able to get back on that type of level, then we could really have some excitement here this spring.
Okay, so still some intrigue there with it, with the goalie spot. So what is the latest on the Protas injury and Fairvari? I think Fairvari's injury is flying a little bit under the radar. He suffered an ankle injury, I think it was a game or two ago, and Protas has missed the last six with a laceration on one of his feet. Will Protas go, and what's the latest on Fairvari?
I just think it's a shame, guys, that for 5 months they were so healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a bunch of guys. I want to say it's 8 or 9 guys play all 82 games this year. That's amazing in a sport as tough and as physically demanding as hockey is. And then all of a sudden, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, you see your lead netminder get hurt. You see arguably, I don't even think it's arguably, the most improved player in the NHL in Alexei Protas get hurt. And as you alertly point out, Cakes, Martin Fairvari, who is another guy who's so important to what has been a group of six defensively that's been marvelous this year. To answer your question, I don't think it's good on Fairvari. I don't know about that, but I just, from what I'm hearing behind the scenes, I don't like what I'm hearing. Mm. Protas, to me, is an enormous difference maker when he's healthy. I don't think he's going to be healthy this series, to right. be honest. Mm. I think, you know, you see him skating on his own, independently of the team outside of practice, that's one thing. But he's nowhere near, I don't, again, this is, the opinions of Joe Beninati are his solely, not of the team. I am not telling you something verbatim from Spencer Carberry, but when I watch him and what I think, not until late in this series, if at all,
wow.
in this series, and I hope he's ready by game 3 or 4. Right. I don't think you're going to see him in the first two games. I'd be shocked if you see him in the first two games.
Wow. All right, so let's flip it, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing the goalie's name correctly for Montreal. Sam Montembeau? Is that it?
Montembeau.
Okay, Montembeau. All right.
Montembeau.
Just looking at his numbers, he ranked 23rd in save percentage, but also then I looked at shots against. Man, he was peppered with shots all year. He ranked 5th in shots against. So maybe the numbers are a little misleading. Talk to me about him and what are his strengths and weaknesses.
Well, I look forward to seeing if you see the Capitals of the first 5 months, then the shots on goal will be in their favor. The quality scoring chances will be in their favor. I think the Caps forward group can really lean on Montreal's defensive six, and I'm not to take anything away from them. I think Montreal has been playing so incredibly well. When you think about them being the Canadians were like dead last in the East in mid-December,
mm-hmm.
and to have made the playoffs, remarkable work by them and by head coach Martin St-Louis. But with regard to Montembeau, he's played an awful lot of hockey.
Yeah.
I want to say only Vasilevsky and Hellebuck played more games than Montembeau. He sees a lot of puck rubber, without a doubt. He faces a lot of shots. And when he's on, guys, he can scare you. But at the same time, I have a feeling, just watching him play against the Caps in the past, that the Caps have a pretty good book on him. And I would expect that they will challenge Samuel Montembeau. He's the bell cow, though, for that team. And if they are porous defensively, and at times they can be, I expect he's the guy who helps bail them out. I think this is going to be a lot of punch-counterpunch in this series. I'll make a tennis reference. Djokovic and Federer were great players at turning defense into offense. You'd go out of your way to make this great shot down the line, and Federer and Djokovic would flip it on you in no time. How quickly can the Capitals counter? Montreal's going to take chances. Montreal can go. They can really skate. Mm. Extremely young, the youngest team in the playoffs. But when they gamble, how well do you counterpunch? How well do you, Djokovic, down the line, Federer cross court? That's going to be the key, I think, in this series.
Joe, should Caps fans be terrified of 19-year-old phenom Ivan Demidov, who is obviously making his first playoff appearance? He's only played in 2 regular season games, a late call-up by Montreal. What's the latest on him, his skill set? What should be aware of when it comes to Demidov?
Cakes, I watched a half hour of KHL highlights of Demidov's from back home. He is slick as a whistle, incredibly talented, fast, not overly big, but flashy, and not afraid to go to the front of the net, not afraid, not going to defer and say, here, why don't you do it? I'm only 19 years old. He seems to have those kind of eventual elite kind of mindset that he's going to be able to do it and take it to the highest level. He's obviously raw and green as grass. And I think defensively is where you'll see the Caps take advantage of a 19-year-old who's only playing his third ever game in the NHL tonight. That's going to be the question, is how often and will Martin Saint-Louis trust him in a Stanley Cup playoff game to do the job at the defensive end. At the offensive end, he looks really special. And a lot of those highlights, he was playing together on a line with Evgeny Kuznetsov of Capitals past fame, and they were meshing together really well. And Ivan looks like he's got a very, very bright future. Let's hope it's extinguished in the playoffs in this first round, though.
Talking to Joe Beninati, voice of the Capitals on Monumental Sports. Let's talk about the young phenom for the Capitals, Ryan Leonard. Will he make a big impact in this series? Should he make a big impact in the series?
I think, JP, we're probably guilty of over-expectations from Ryan. Ryan was arguably the best college player in the country this year. He was right there for the Hobie Baker Award as a finalist, led the nation in goals. All the big game goals he scored for Boston College, game winners and important plays. He was the MVP of the United States World Junior Tournament. He was their captain. There's a lot to love about Ryan, I think, for the future. But right now, you know, what's that expression? A lot of the times it's almost like you're drinking from a fire hose. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot happening right now. And it's something for him to adjust to. But with regard to the line that he's likely to be playing with Mangiapane and Eller, that line's going to have to contribute at some point in time during this series. I think they will. I like what I see from Ryan. I have some hesitations a little bit at the offensive end, just because the college game is 1/1,000 and a half quicker, or not as quick. The NHL is that much quicker that things have to process quickly, and Ryan's still getting adjusted to that. I don't think it's fair for us to expect him to come in and right away be a point per game, goal a game kind of guy. That's the expectations are too high there. He's definitely willing to throw his body around. He's not the biggest cat in the world, but he plays physically. He plays above his weight. He definitely punches above his weight class. He's fast. I like his offensive shooting skills. I just wish that release would come a little bit quicker, and it will over time. Just got to give him some time. But now we're asking him to jump right in there into the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think he'll be impactful. I know he will. It's just a matter of how soon and how much. But for the moment, give him a little bit of time. Give him a little bit of a leash here.
So real quick, we've got about 2 minutes. Caps fans are kind of worried about, I certainly am, about how they've played since March 25th, where they went 4-9 since March 25th. How do you feel they come out of the gates when it now gets real?
Bish, I'm hoping that was just human nature. They had such a big lead. They were playing so well for so long. And then I mentioned the injuries, the illnesses, the consumption, the all-consuming great chase to get Alex an incredible record. That's now been done and accomplished. And what matters now is all about team. It's not about individual achievements. And again, those guys couldn't have been better. The entire team and Alex couldn't have been better with the way they approached all the stuff involved in chasing down Wayne Gretzky. Now it's time to get back to being the best team in the East, which they were for the lion's share of this season. And I just thought, there's a little human nature crawling in here. These games don't mean anything. They were the first team to earn a playoff berth. They clinched the division quickly. They wrapped up the East so fast. I think they backed off the pedal. I hope. And if so, you'll see a really solid showing right off the jump tonight. Oh, you can't just flip a switch like that, Joe. I understand. But I think in particular, the line that I think, and the player especially, I think that'll show this will be Pierre-Luc Dubois. When the Capitals are at their best, Dubois is one of the best two-way players in the league. It's going to be, at least for the first couple of games when Spencer Carberry has the matchups to his favor, he's going to get Dubois against Suzuki, and that Suzuki line has arguably been the best line in the league in the last month. They will give the Caps a handful, but I think Dubois and Wilson and McMichael will match them and force that offensive line to play some defense. The best way to counterattack that trio is to make them work in Montembeau's end. Don't let them have the puck. And that'll be, I think, something from a possession game standpoint that Dubois can control.
Joe B., we're looking forward to it. Thanks, as always, for
joining
us.
Looking forward to watching you tonight. All right.
You guys, my pleasure. Anytime.
Yep, thanks, Joe.
My man.
Glad to hear you're feeling better.
Joe Beninati, the voice of the Washington Capitals on the Monumental Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
Game one tonight. Of course, you can win tickets for game two right here on this station all the way until 5:20 p.m. And you can join our boys, Grant and Danny, live from City Tap House, Penn Quarter. That's today for your chance to win tickets. Go Caps for Bish Cakes. I'm JP. B. Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan.
See ya.